Welcome to New Season Ministry with Evangelist Jeremy Cook. We hope today's message will challenge, encourage, and uplift you in your walk with the Lord. Enjoy the message.
And go with me tonight to the book of Joshua chapter 1. The book of Joshua chapter 1. I want to read a few verses of scripture to you tonight, and I just want to encourage you just a little bit and just to help you just a little bit tonight. I believe that God is wanting to speak to us because I believe that today God began to speak a few things to me to pour into us tonight. And I hope and pray that you have come ready, to receive, because I believe that the time to enter into your blessing and to enter into your inheritance, what God has been promising to some of you tonight, what God has been wanting to do in some of your lives tonight, it is getting ready. I believe that it's time for some of us to cross over into some promises that God has for us. Amen?
Come on.
Amen. And so in order for that to happen, I believe with every fiber of my being that God wants to raise our confidence level in this house tonight. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about for just a few moments. I want to talk to you about having the confidence to possess what God has promised you.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Having the confidence to possess what God has promised you. And so in the book of Joshua chapter number 1, let's begin reading at verse number 1. And let's read down through verse 9. Now the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of the Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, And unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And here's a promise. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse number 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Can we lift our hands tonight and let's just ask God to bless his word tonight. Father, I thank you tonight, Lord God. God, I thank you for your help, for your anointing that I already feel in this house tonight. Lord God, I ask you in these next few moments of time, Lord God, that you would anoint your word, that you would let it go forth in power and demonstration. Father, God, build up the confidence in us tonight that it is time to possess what you have promised. And tonight, Lord, as we leave this house tonight, let it be said, Lord God, that our confidence is at an all-time high, for we trust you and we give you praise in this house tonight. And Father, we'll never cease to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says amen.
Amen.
And amen. So I want to talk to you tonight, if the Lord will help me, on the second night of revival. I want to talk to you about confidence to possessing the promises of God. Confidence to possess the promises of God. You know, there were one time, I just want to share this little story with you real quick. There was one time that there were two cows that they were grazing in a pasture. They were grazing in a field when they saw a milk truck pass by. And on the side of the truck were the words, pasteurize, homogenize, standardize, with vitamin A added. One of the cows sighed and looked at the other cow and said, gee, kind of makes you feel a little inadequate, doesn't it? I want to ask you the question. Has there ever been a time in your life where you know that God has a promise hanging over your life? God has a promise hanging over your family. God has a promise hanging over your life. But you couldn't help but think to yourself just how inadequate you must feel about what God is wanting you to do, where God is wanting you to go, the things that God is wanting to speak to you, the things that God is wanting to do through you. You see, I've been in ministry. This next month, February, will be 21 years that I have been in ministry. This is all I know. It's still to this day, at 37 years of age, I feel so inadequate. I think to myself, God, how could you ever reach down in a little town in Central Florida and say, you know what? I want to put my hand on that man. I want to call that young man into the ministry. And at 16 years of age, God saved me, baptized me in the Holy Ghost, and set the course of my life. And I'm thinking, God, who am I that you would even look down at somebody, at a little old speck of dust like me, and say, I want to use you. I've called you and I've ordained you, but I want to tell somebody in this house tonight, you may feel like that you're inadequate. You may feel like that you're not fully equipped to do what God has called you to do. But can I tell you that God has his hand upon you? God has his hand upon this church. God has his hand upon your family. My God, I feel like preaching right now. I want to tell somebody that is in this house tonight, and somebody that is watching by Facebook, that even though that if you feel inadequate, God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, but I'll be with you. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the anointing to accomplish that which I have commanded you to do. Maybe Joshua felt like this. Maybe Joshua felt this inadequacy. Because here was the thing about Joshua. It's what made Joshua probably feel inadequate. Was he was the one that had to succeed Moses. I mean, think about that. He had to succeed Moses. Moses, the man of God. Moses was the man who withstood Pharaoh and brought Egypt down to its knees. Moses was the man who parted the Red Sea. Moses was the man who helped brought manna down from heaven. Moses was the man who struck a rock and water flowed through it. Moses was the man who received the law of God in stone. Moses was the man who spoke to God face to face. Moses was the man who saw the glory of God as he was in the cleft of the rock. And Moses was the man who led the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. And now you're telling me I've got to succeed that. I've got to follow that. God, how am I going to be able to do that? Amen. See, however, Moses wasn't the one who was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. That responsibility would fall to Joshua. Joshua was the one that had to have the responsibility of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Can I tell you that nobody here in this house tonight can do what God has called you to do?
My God, I feel like preaching.
Nobody in this house can do what God has called you to do. Each and every one of us. The Bible said, Paul would write in Corinthians, and he says he has put those in the body where he wants for the edification of the body, for the building of the body. Nobody else can do what God has called you to do.
Oh, come on.
Oh, and so God has put us in this moment, just like Joshua, to lead people into the very presence of God. You see, but what we need to have this day and in this age, when we look at everything that is going on around us, when we look at the problems that is going on in this world, when it seems like that everybody has lost their ever-loving mind, when it seems like that people keep on leaving us, when it seems like that people keep on forsaking us, when it seems like that we don't have enough money, when it seems like that our health is failing us, when it seems like that people have betrayed us, when we feel like giving up, I want to tell you today, God is wanting to stop by this house tonight to give somebody in this house the confidence for their faith to arise just a little bit higher. Can I tell you this? Moses was dead. They were mourning. They were looking at everything that was going on around them. Their leader had died. He was dead and he was buried. They were mourning. They went through a great trial when they left Moses. But God spoke to Joshua and told Joshua, he said, listen, Moses, my servant, is dead, but it's time for you to rise. The Lord spoke to me today and he said, it's in the middle of your greatest setback. It's in the middle of when people have betrayed you. It's in the middle of your greatest sickness. It's in the middle of your greatest trial that God says it's time to rise up, because I'm getting ready to do my greatest work in your life. Oh, you see, what we need is confidence. Andre Crouch wrote the old song years ago. This is what he said. He wrote the words to this song that said, I've got confidence that God is going to see me through.
Amen.
No matter what the case may be, I know that he is going to fix it for me.
Amen.
And confidence is simply the trust or the reliance and the faith and the certainty and someone. Now, we all here in this house tonight have confidence in something.
Yeah. Come on.
All of us here in this house have our confidence placed in something. Some of us got our confidence in our job. Some of us have got our confidence in the government. Some of us have got our confidence in what they're doing down in Oklahoma City. Some of us have got our confidence on what they're saying on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC. But I want to challenge the church tonight to focus their confidence on somebody else. I listen to the words of David when he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Where does my help come from? The help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I want to tell somebody in this house tonight that you need to get your confidence back on God. You need to get your confidence back on Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You need to get your confidence back on Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. You need to get your confidence back on Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord God that heals. I want to tell you, I've got confidence in this house tonight that God's going to see you through. That God's going to take you into the promises. Let your confidence and faith in him arise in this house tonight. Ooh. It's not self-confidence. I can't trust in self, but I trust in God. You see, here's the thing. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're the instrument that God uses. But God himself is the source of the victory. Oh, I believe, Pastor Sherry, I believe that God is getting ready to use you and getting ready to use this church as an instrument for the glory of God. My goodness, I feel like preaching in this house right now. I believe that God is using River of Life, and God is getting ready to use you, sister. God's getting ready to use this church. We are the instrument, but God's gonna get the glory. My God,
yes.
Can I just prophesy to this house for just a moment? I understand that people try to write you off. I understand that people just drive by and they say, "Oh, that church will never amount to anything." But I heard the Holy Ghost say, because I've got people that have been faithful in the bad times, and they've been faithful when they didn't have anything. He said, "I'm going to show up and I'm going to pour out blessings because they've been faithful, because they have not denied my name, because I've got Shokolamaha, because they have trusted in me in the good times and in the bad times. I'm gonna show forth my glory." Then they're going to be the instruments that I'm going to use in these last days, saith God, because they have confidence in me.
Glory.
Oh, hallelujah. See, Scripture encourages us to godly confidence. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26 will tell us, "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared." He would speak in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 5 through 7 and says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is everyone who trusts in man, or who depends on the flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Paul would write in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 when he would say, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will carry it out unto that day." Oh, the writer of Hebrews would write in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, and he would say, "Listen, I know things are tough. God, I know you're going through battles. I know you're going through heartaches, but let me remind you, don't you throw away your confidence. Keep your confidence in me." He would write in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, it says, "We can say with confidence," and John would write in 1 John 4 and verse 17, "For we have this confidence. Oh, I'm confident that if I ask anything according to his will, that he's going to hear me." My brothers and sisters, my God, I feel like preaching in this house. I want to tell somebody, your confidence is not in your flesh. Your confidence is not what anybody else can do. Your confidence is not in how many's in this house tonight, but your confidence is in the Lord. Lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help. Trust in God.
Yes.
Whoa.
Glory.
He told Joshua, "You need confidence. Joshua, is this okay tonight?
Go ahead.
Joshua, you need confidence." Here's what he told him. I feel like this is a word for this church and everybody that's listening to this. Listen to what God is going to tell Joshua. He would tell him in verses 3 and 4, he said, "Everywhere,
come on, everywhere,
I will give you every place that the sole of your foot touches down."
Yes, Lord.
Now listen to this. The Lord spoke to Joshua. Unto that moment, the Lord would speak to Joshua through Moses. But now he's speaking directly to him. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you tonight, God is wanting to speak directly to you.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Come on.
I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight. But you don't need to come here to hear me.
No.
Come on.
Mm-mm.
You need to hear from God.
That's right.
Oh,
come on.
I'm preaching better than you're shouting right
come
now.
Come on.
If all you care about is just hearing a nice message and hearing some nice songs More often than not, you'll miss what God is actually wanting to speak to you.
That's right. Come on, preach that right there.
Let me just take one step further before I go any further in this message. I know sometimes we as preachers that we'll preach and we'll say, Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And I pray that, and I believe that. But what I've also started praying is God, let us be able to receive what you're saying.
Come on.
See, he wants to speak to you. And this is what he had told Joshua, and this is what I believe that he's telling us tonight. He told him, he said, I will give you every place where you set your foot down. He said, I promised that to Moses. I promised that to Abraham. I promised that to Isaac, and I promised that to Jacob. Now, Joshua, I'm promising it to you. Every place that the sole of your foot plots down, he said, that is what I'm going to give to you. But see, here's the thing. Joshua had a divine promise, but he also had a responsibility to go out and to, my God, he also had a responsibility to go out and to receive what God had
Come on.
You see, listen. Divine promise plus our responsibility will always equal the blessings of God.
Yes.
You see, God gave the land, but the people had to possess it.
Come on,
preach that. Pastor Sherry, can I just preach it for just a second here? I travel all across this country. This year we'll be from one end of the coast to the other. We'll be from the East Coast to the West Coast. All this coming up here. And I want to tell you right now, I go into a lot of churches where the prophetic word is spoken. And I'll hear things like God's gonna bring them in. God's got a harvest. But you know what I see in a lot of churches? I see in a lot of churches where we're just sitting there on our blessed assurance, not doing a thing in the world. And we just expect the harvest to be dumped over into our lap. No, listen. He told Joshua, he said, if you'll go out, he said, everywhere that the sole of your foot trots down upon, he said, wherever your foot steps, he says, I'll give it to you. You know what that meant? That meant that Joshua and the people had to get out and go do something. They couldn't just sit back and just wait for the blessings of God just to show up. My God, I'm preaching right now. I want to tell you tonight that you've got to go out and you've got to set your foot down, and you've got to set your foot down on the promises. You've got to set your foot down on this community. You've got to set your foot down on this family. You've got to set your foot down. You've got to set your foot down, because God said, if you'll do it, I'll give it to you. My God. Here's what I know. God looks for active faith, not passive faith. Here's what we need. Is this okay tonight? I'm only on my first point. I'll be done in a couple hours. We need, can I tell you what we need in this day, in this age? We need a warrior spirit.
Yes.
We are too easily discouraged and intimidated in our faith.
Well,
listen, I know this world's in a mess. You don't have to convince me of that. When denominations are ordaining transvestites and homosexuals. Oh, come on, you don't want me to preach this right now.
Come on.
And drag queens.
Come on now.
Oh, can I just talk to the Pentecostal church? When the Pentecostal church wants to relegate the move of the Holy Spirit to a back room somewhere, and we want to box the Holy Ghost in a box because we don't want to offend anybody, and we want to become seeker sensitive, and we want to become seeker friendly, because heaven forbid, heaven
forbid if some dear old saint of God gets out in the middle of the aisle and starts shaking and shouting and falling out in the foot. My goodness. My God, I feel like just preaching it right now. But I want to, and we become so discouraged and we become so fearful and we act like that we don't have any power. Can I tell you right now tonight, church, that I don't want to be a part of anybody that's always going to cower in fear, that's always going to run when the devil rears his ugly head. Because I'm reminded in my Bible, I'm reminded that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm also reminded that there's no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. I still want to remind you tonight that Jesus Christ is building his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to tell you, I wish that God would arise some warriors in this house tonight that says, I will not retreat, I will not surrender, I will not run away, I will not hide, but I will fight the good fight of faith. I will war as a good soldier of the cross. I will fight.
Yes.
Whoa. Stop being a grasshopper. We need the spirit of Joshua and Caleb who are willing to possess the land. We need that warrior mentality. You know what robbed the children of Israel of their promises? They looked at their problems more than they looked at their God. They were at the brink of it. They went in and they spy out the land. 12 spies went into the land. They came back to give the report and said, it's everything that God said it was going to be. Yep. Hey, here's the evidence of it. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's everything that God has promised us. However, but, can I just say this? Sometimes our butts get us in trouble.
Well, come on. Yeah.
Come on, Joe.
Yeah, come on.
Sometimes they just get us in trouble. And they said, oh, but there's giants in the land. The sons of Achan are in the land. And we can't do anything about it. Now listen to this. I want you to pay very close attention to what happens here. Because they say, and we were grasshoppers in our own sight.
Wow.
Now listen. Then it says, we were grasshoppers in our own sight, so we became grasshoppers in their sight.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting ready. I'm preaching right now, Pastor.
Come on.
Yeah, come on.
You see, the enemy did not see them as grasshoppers until they saw themselves grasshoppers.
Come on. That's a good word.
However you see yourself is how the enemy's going to see you.
Yep. Right. Come on.
But I've come tonight to put hell on notice. I've come tonight to put every demon in hell that has tried to fight against you, that has tried to fight against me, that has tried to fight against this church, that has tried to fight against your families, that no weapon that is formed against us is going to prosper. I am a blood-bought, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled child of God. I am who God says I am. I am filled with the Spirit unto the day of redemption. I am filled with power from on high. And I've got my God, I tell you what some of you need to do. Oh, come on, thank you, Holy Ghost. Can I tell you what some of you need to do? Is some of you need to take the oil back home and start doing what the old saints used to do. And start walking through your house and anointing the doorpost and anointing the bedroom and anointing the telephone. Oh, come on. Some of you need to cast that demon out. And some of you need to say, hey, you can't have this because God said the family's mine. God, some of you need to anoint your checkbook and say, hey, you can't have my finances. Some of you need to anoint yourself and say, Satan, you can't have my health because I'm going to fight because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I put my foot down and it is mine. Yeah. Oh. Point number two. He said, I'll give you everything. Number one, he said, I'll give you everything, every place that your foot is down. Number two, he says, I'm going to be with you, even as I was with Moses. Listen to what he says. He says, no one is able going to be able to stand against you. Verse 5. Nobody's going to be able to stand against you. Why? Because they were doing the will of God. When you're in the middle of the will of God, there ain't a devil in hell that can stop you. God didn't promise to bless your self-interest, but he promised to bless his will. And he said, I will be with you as I was with Moses. How was he with Moses? Because he said, everything that I've done for Moses, I'm going to do for you. My God, thank you, Holy Ghost. I just heard the Holy Ghost say, everything that I did in a previous generation, I'll do for this generation. I'll do for this generation. But how was God with Moses? He was with him with care. Because see, God protected him from harm when he confronted Pharaoh. Can I tell you, God will protect you. Oh, he was with Moses in his sufficiency. On Mount Sinai, he met God as the great I am, meaning I'll be what you need me in every situation. I heard a preacher say it like this. He said, when Moses talked to God on Mount Sinai in the middle of that burning bush, he said, Moses, who do I tell him sent me? He said, you go tell him the way maker sent you. No. You go tell him the provider sent you. No, you go tell them the healer. No, you go tell them the savior. No, you just go tell them I am that I am sent you. Whatever I need to be for you in this situation is what I'll be for you. And I want to tell you, whatever that you need to be, whatever he needs to be for you in this house tonight, if you need him to be a healer, he'll be a healer for you. If you need him to be a provider, he'll be a provider for you. If you need him to be a deliverer for you, he'll be a deliverer for you. Because he is the I am. He is the all-sufficient God.
Amen.
He was with Moses in authority. God transformed his shepherd's rod into a sign of authority. With his shepherd's rod, he smote the Nile, and it turned to blood. And he struck down the false gods of Egypt, and he separated the Red Sea. Let me just stop right here and tell you, God has given you authority.
Amen.
Oh, I wish I could preach to midnight. But I want to tell you, God has given you authority. When you were saved and you were filled with the Spirit of God, you've been filled with authority. You've been filled with power. You have the authority, Jesus said, to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and upon all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you, my God. And so you need to start walking in your divine authority. You need to start walking in your divine power. You need to start walking in what thus saith the Lord. My God, I feel like preaching. And he told Joshua, just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you in power and authority. He was with him in miracle power. Through the power of God, the destroyer of the firstborn smote Egypt. The sea parted. Manna came down from heaven. Water issued from a rock. A cloud guided them through the desert. They were victorious in battle.
Come on.
Amen.
And the same power that rests on them is the same power that rests in you.
Amen. Come on.
Come on, preach it.
Come on, grasp that.
Oh.
Jesus.
He was also with Moses as a close friend. Think about this.
Yeah.
The Bible says that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. What does that mean? I've said it before already in this message. God wants to speak directly to you.
Yes, he does.
Can I just tell you, this is a good teaching here. You don't have to wait till you come to revival to hear from God.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on.
All right, let me just preach it. You know what my job is as an evangelist? To work myself out of a job.
Come on. Yep.
Because here's the thing, even as a full-time evangelist, this is all I do. even as a full-time evangelist, sometimes what I fear, Pastor Sherry, is that if we can just get to the next conference, if we can just get to the next revival, if we can just get to the next meeting, everything will be okay. But what if I told you that God wanted to come down at your breakfast table?
Come on.
What if I told you that God wanted to come down while you're at work and just talk to you?
Come on.
Happened to my mom. Two stories real quick that I want to share with you. When my mom got saved, she wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She wanted to be baptized at every service. Every service, she'd get down at that altar and she'd cry out to God. And I like to call them the Pentecostal Mafia would jump on her in every service. You know what I'm talking about. She got down on that altar. I mean, they all ganged up on her. Somebody telling her to let go. Somebody telling her to hang on. Somebody telling God to fill her. Somebody telling God to just empty her. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, every service, they work her over in the altar. Nothing happened. Nothing would happen. Not even would come close. Not a stammering lip. Nothing. Till one afternoon, she goes in our town there in Central Florida, in Winter Haven, Florida, where I was born and raised. We had a place there. It was called Morrison's Cafeteria. Everybody, I mean, it was the happening place in town. I mean, it was a huge restaurant. You could probably seat 700 or 800 people in the restaurant. It was huge. One afternoon, she went to lunch there, got her food, went through the line, got her food, sat down at the table. There was a lady that walked up to her and said, "Hey, Sister Dolly, have you received the Holy Ghost yet? I've been praying for you." She says, "No." She said, "I still believe." That lady laid hands on her and just said, "Be ye filled." And for the next 30 to 45 minutes, she laid out on the floor in that Morrison's Cafeteria with her hands raised, speaking in tongues. And everybody just kind of, all the waitresses and waiters just kind of had to sit. You don't have to wait to the meeting for God to show up where you're at. God can show up in the very mundane things while you're sitting at the restaurant. God can show up where you're at and say, hey son, hey daughter, I want to talk to you. Happened to her again. Is this okay? I'm getting ready to close. That don't mean anything. Thank you for laughing. When she got saved, she smoked 3.5 packs of cigarettes a day. She was cleaning the house. She didn't get delivered from cigarettes while she was in a high-powered revival meeting. She got delivered while she was cleaning the house. She was cleaning the house. Dad was at work. She was getting everything ready, and the Lord spoke to her. Because she stood up and testified in church. She told us all when we got home. The Lord spoke to her and said she had just bought a brand new carton of cigarettes that were sitting in the kitchen drawer. Now, I've never smoked in my life, but I've went through the checkout line. And they were expensive. They were expensive then, and they're expensive now. And the Lord spoke to her. She had never opened them. The Lord spoke to her and said, "If you'll go throw those away, throw those in the trash can." He said, "I'll deliver you right now from them."
Yep.
Wow.
Amen.
Yep. And she said, "I tried to reason with God." She said, "I tried to reason with God." She said, "Lord, you know I just bought those. I just bought those and I just spent all this money on this brand new carton of cigarettes. And I'll smoke these and then I won't go buy anymore." Said the Holy Spirit spoke to her again and said, "No, I told you that if you'll go throw them away, I'll deliver you from them now." Yeah. And he said, "Do you want to be delivered?" And tears started streaming down her face. And she said, yes, you know more than anything. I want to be delivered from this. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her again and said, I'll tell you again. Go throw them away and I'll deliver them. I'll deliver you from them. So she went, opened up that kitchen drawer, pulled out that brand new box, that brand new carton of cigarettes that had never been opened up, went and threw them in the trash can. And immediately God delivered her. She's never had another one. I want to tell you, God will be with you.
Amen.
Number three, he told Joshua, I will never leave you. River of Life, this is what I want to tell you. The biblical concept of his presence, of the presence of God, is more than just the omnipresence, but it is his active, powerful presence in your life.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to tell you tonight, as I'm getting ready to bring this to a close, there is a presence that God is getting ready to make manifest in this house. It's going to be a guiding presence. Can I just prophesy over this house right now? Pastor Sherry, I just want to tell you, it's going to be a guiding presence. His presence is going to guide you. It's going to guide this house. It's going to be a protective presence. His presence is going to protect this church. It's going to protect this church. It's going to protect your family. His presence, okay, can I just say, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. His presence is going to bring joy back into the camp. Oh, his presence is getting ready to reassure some of you in this house tonight. And his presence is getting ready to comfort some of you in this house. Sometimes we just need the promise of the comforter to come where we're at and to smile. He said, I won't leave you.
Amen.
And he's not. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you tonight that God wants to give you the confidence to possess what he has promised. Stand with me in this house tonight. Lift your hands all over this house tonight. Today, the Lord laid this message on my heart. I feel like this is a message for this house. I feel like it's a message for people who are going to be listening to this service. God's made some promises. God's made, has led you through some ways. You've been through some things that you didn't feel like that you'd have to go through. But I feel like that confidence is getting ready to arise in the house tonight. And you are going to receive what everything that God has promised you. I feel the weightiness of his presence in this house. I feel the weightiness of his presence in this house tonight. We are not here by accident. We are not here by happenstance. We are not here tonight because we feel like that this is just a good, it was just a good idea. My brother, you're not here tonight just simply because we thought that you thought it was a good idea to drive 200 miles to be in a church service tonight. Well, my brother, I believe that you're here by divine appointment tonight. I believe that every one of us in this house tonight is here by divine appointment. I believe that every one of us in this house is here tonight because God says, I'm getting ready to give you the confidence to receive what you need from God. Some of you in this house tonight have family members that are just going slack crazy. And the enemy has tried to tell you they'll never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. But God says, I'm going to give you the confidence to believe that I'm going to bring them in.
Yes, amen.
Oh, Oh, I believe that there are some in this house tonight. You're fighting ailments in your body. You're fighting things. The enemy has tried to attack you in your health, and the enemy has tried to tell you, well, you'll never get that healing. You'll have to deal with this until Jesus comes back. But I believe I have the confidence tonight that Jehovah Rapha can show up in this house tonight, and we can claim the promises of God that by His stripes we are healed. Some of you tonight are seeking direction and choices that you need to make. I believe that God's going to give you the confidence to trust that He is going to lead you. Can I just remind you of the wisdom of Solomon when he would say, lean not unto your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I believe that for some of you here tonight, that God is getting ready to give you the confidence to possess what you need, what God has promised you in this house tonight. Come on, lift your hands all over this house. Oh, hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Evangelist Jeremy Cook. If you would like more information regarding New Season Ministry, to schedule Jeremy to minister at your event, or to support the ministry with a love gift, please contact us at 859-404-4007. Or you may email him at pastorjeremycook@gmail.com. God bless, and we will see you next time on New Season Ministry.